This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
1, 2.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ay. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ay.
Ah, yes, hour number three here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. It is Taz of the Moose as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way. If you can't play a talking number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, at Taz and the Moose, at official Taz1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C. Remember to download the pod each and every day. Radio.com, TuneIn, and iTunes. Remember to give us a rating, Sirius 213 XM 201 961. On the app as well. Coming up in about 24 minutes from now, Michael McCann will join us, Sports Illustrated legal analyst and co-author of Court Justice. We'll talk to Michael certainly about everything surrounding the NCAA and Sean Miller and Arizona and everything that was broken down soup to nuts a week ago. And Michael did a great job of covering that and writing a big-time column on that for Sports Illustrated. But we kick off this third hour talking a little bit about the Oscars and the Academy Awards, where Kobe Bryant won a Academy Award, Taz, on Sunday night out in beautiful Los Angeles, California, for Best Animated Short, right? I think that was it? Yeah, Best Animated Short.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was a short film based on a poem that he wrote. When he stepped away from the game of basketball. Now,
which is a little bit... I'll give you my commentary.
Well, congrats. It's a great honor. I mean, afterward, he was asked the comparison between him winning an Academy Award as compared to winning an NBA title. Let's take a listen.
After winning 5 NBA championships, now...
That's Kobe Bryant? He sounds...
No, that's not Kobe. That was the question.
Oh, I thought that was Kobe. I'm like, that didn't sound like Kobe. Why he's changed since he hasn't played?
That was not.
I thought that was Kobe.
No, that was.
Take two and begin.
Yes. After winning 5 NBA championships, now to hold an Oscar. No. How do you feel?
With my hands.
It's. I feel better than winning a championship. To be honest with you, I swear I do. It's. You know, growing up as a kid, I dreamt of winning championships, you know, and working really hard to make that dream come true. But then, like, to have something like this seemingly come out of left field, you know, and like, you know, I heard a lot of people tell me when I started writing, and they would ask me, what are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of, yeah, that's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over and you'll come back to playing, you know. And I got that a lot. And so to be here right now and to have like a sense of validation is, dude, this is crazy, man. It's crazy.
Not as crazy as your comment, Kobe. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's not on the level of winning NBA championship.
I'm sure all his great teammates with the Lakers all those years loved that he said that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't.
Come on.
You got to put the boots on. Because it's getting high in the room. I mean, it's not on the level. It's not on the level of winning an NBA championship. It's more individualized than that. Listen, I give Kobe credit. I mean, it's a great honor to win an Academy Award, to be up there.
Good.
And in front of millions of people watching at home and delivering a speech and having that Oscar, throwing that up on the mantle at his mansion. That's all fantastic, but it's not on the level of winning an NBA title.
It's not, and I hate to bust your bubble. I know you're a big fan of the Oscars and writing and shorts, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If he's Kobe Bryant, if he's not Kobe Bryant, is he winning that?
Yeah, listen, I don't know who he was up against. I watched none of the people they were up against.
If he's not Kobe Bryant.
I think he's... You think he won it because he was Kobe Bryant?
Yes.
No. I don't believe that.
Okay.
There have been plenty of athletes. Kazam didn't win.
I just think...
I mean, if with Shaq, did it?
No, I don't think that won many awards.
Did Space Jam win with Michael Jordan?
Space Jam.
Great soundtrack.
I don't think
that didn't win.
Listen, I did not see this. What was the name of this Kobe Bryant short? What was this called?
Dear Basketball.
Okay, I did not see Dear Basketball, but that doesn't... I could still pass judgment. That's what I just did.
There were five films up for the award.
I'm still passing judgment.
What were the other five?
The other four were Lou, Garden Party, Revolting Rhymes, and Negative Space.
Ooh, some tough comp there.
That's crazy.
I can't pronounce half of the people in these, so I'm not going to try.
I just have a feeling that if I played on the Lakers in all those years with Kobe and all the great players and teammates that he's had, coaches, everything, all the fan base of the everything, to make a comment like this, can I just hear the comment maybe one more time, Pete the Body?
I feel better than winning a championship, to be honest with you.
Huh?
I swear I do.
You
know, growing up as a kid, I dreamt of winning championships, you know, and working really hard to make that dream come true. But then, like, to have something like this seemingly come out of left field, you know, I heard a lot of people tell me when I started writing, and they would ask me, what are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of, that's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over.
I'm depressed hearing them. So Mike, just name two of the other guys he was up against. I'm curious. Just give me a name. Attempt the names.
I can get this one. Max Porter and Rue Kuwata.
So if Rue Kuwata and Max Porter or Max
negative
Porter
space.
Were to win this, there's a lot of negative space around the show, my friend. A lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
If Max Porter or Rue Kuwata were to win this thing.
Just this place?
The Moose. Would we be talking about this? No. I'll answer for you. No,
we would not be.
Nobody would talk about it if Max Porter won it.
Nobody cares about him.
But I
don't want to take away from the honor. I don't want to take away and say that he won just because he's Kobe Bryant. I think I didn't watch it. I mean, the poem's nice.
How many minutes?
It's an animated short.
It's got to be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, right?
I don't know how long it is.
I'll watch it during the break.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty good. Why does it have to be very good? It's got to be pretty good. If you're up for an award, it's got to be decent. It can't be terrible.
Basketball. It's 6 minutes long.
Dear Basketball, 6 minutes.
Great.
I will watch
it during the break and give you my breakdown on the Taz Show later on my podcast.
There you go.
Which you can get on iTunes.
Very nice. I give him credit for winning it. The problem
it's 6 minutes long. It takes 5 minutes to do that.
It'll take him a little bit longer.
The title. It's 6 minutes. Do the math.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
A little graphic you done.
I call BS on the idea that it's bigger than winning an NBA title.
I agree.
That's six minutes short, bigger than winning it.
How many NBA titles did he win?
He won five.
Oh my God.
Here's the deal for him, though, where I think it's probably all about him.
Yes. Well, I can relate.
It's not about anybody else.
No teammates.
It came off the creative process of himself.
I love that.
He wrote the poem. They created an animated short off of that poem.
It's all about him.
It's not about Shaq. It's not about Phil. It's not about the triangle.
Yes.
It's not about any of his Laker teammates. It's not about any of that. It's not about 82 against the Toronto Raptors. What it is, it's just all about him.
And what's wrong with that?
So if I'm going to look at Kobe Bryant on Sunday night delivering that speech saying this is greater than winning the NBA title, well, the reason why I would probably imagine it's greater than winning the NBA title because it's not about the team.
Mm.
It's all about him.
Mm-mm-mm. I think you might have got to the root of the banana.
It's all about It's all about one person.
6 minutes about my basketball, about Kobe.
Right.
Is bigger than five NBA championships.
For him, that's what he's basically
Six
saying.
Minutes.
Well, it shows
something
you.
That Taz and the Moose can watch during the break of right. their successful morning drive show on CBS Sports Radio.
Right. Kobe believes in I, not we.
Oh, that's kind of like somebody on this team. That someone on this team has that feeling. Yes. Also, I just want to let you know.
Yes, I can relate.
So, yeah, I listen. I think that
the Taz.
I'm telling you right now.
Nice plug for the Taz show.
I
by
think.
The way.
Yeah, you noticed that.
I was
subtle.
Plug it at the end of the
that
show.
That was you subtle. Know? Like, no, it wasn't like a subtle. Mack it was truck. Like, it was
right.
Subtle.
It was like Taz. A brick over my head. It wasn't subtle.
Man, the comment's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The comment's ridiculous.
It's not. It's not as great than winning an NBA championship, but now he's got one up on Michael.
Yeah.
Michael never won an Academy Award. Space Jam won nothing.
You think Michael's
Did
pissed
Space
off?
Jam
you think Michael's pissed off?
Probably not.
MJ?
Michael's playing golf somewhere. He plays 36 holes of golf a day. Did Michael Jordan for Space Jam, did he win an MTV movie award?
He won nothing.
Did he win anything for that?
He won nothing. Space Jam. The best thing about it was the title.
What's the awards they give out for, like, the worst movies? The Razzles?
Razzies.
The Razzies.
Oh, really? I never heard of that.
You never heard of that?
No. I'm not big in the movies.
Every year they give out Razzie Awards. It's online.
Really?
They hand them out. There's no ceremony, obviously, for some of the worst actor of the year, worst actress.
We could win. They have something. We're going to win a Marconi.
Yes, I believe we are.
Little inside radio chatter
yes,
right there.
That's exactly right.
That's the award, what, for the best radio?
Best radio show.
Well. A dead air made sense there.
Come on, man.
Oh, man.
No. That was funny.
That worked. But anyway, I don't believe you and I, we both don't believe Kobe Bryant.
Can't
what
say
he
what he said.
No, that's you can't say that.
That's overstatement city right there.
No, I totally agree with you.
Space Jam did win some awards, but it was for the soundtrack.
Oh, it
won
did?
Won a couple of Grammys. Yeah.
Oh, won a couple of Grammys.
Oh, for the soundtrack.
For the soundtrack.
Which had nothing to do with Michael Jordan unless he was singing.
Right.
It was R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, I Believe I Could Fly.
I believe I could fly. I believe I could touch the sky.
I'm running in a circle.
Every night and day.
I'm touching the sky. That's not the worst,
no.
Yeah. But, R. Kelly did the music on us. I didn't see Space Jams either. That and Hoosier.
Hoosiers is a great movie.
Yeah, I know. But I
got to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe I could touch the sky. Think about it every night and day.
Got lyricosis.
Zed, fly away.
The moose. Moose got pipes.
I believe I could soar.
Open door. See, I do that thing with my voice?
Oh, yeah, that's a great job.
Gospel-esque.
Accentuate.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah,
called inflection.
Nice. That's nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Ah.
The lyrics are great.
See, Kobe might have the Academy. He does not have this.
If you listen to the podcast version of the show, you did not hear
you
that
You did not
song.
Hear that. You just heard us singing
just
very
us...
much out of tune.
You were pretty
exactly
good.
Right. No, I was not.
Yeah,
I,
but the Kobe Bryant.
I sing in the car. My kids are like, stop singing, please.
Oh, really?
I have great video. 2 years ago, Christmas time, we were in the parking lot. My wife had to run into like Pier 1 to go grab something. And so I put on like a...
Very bougie.
I put on a Christmas song in the car, right? We were listening. Yeah. It wasn't Alvin and the Chipmunks yet. And I started singing it. I think I was singing... it wasn't Ave Maria. It was some...
Ave Maria? You're singing Ave Maria to your kids. It's like, what are you, just go to church.
It wasn't Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
I forget what Christmas song I was singing. I was singing it, and Jackson yells at me, "Daddy, please stop! You're hurting my ears."
Hopefully, none of our listeners are saying that.
I was like, "Get into the Christmas spirit!" And then
the kids don't want to hear.
Please stop!
Yeah,
they had their hands over their ears. Please
you must
stop.
Have been belting it out.
Belting it out.
You're loudmouth jokes
to
too.
It.
You got a very good projection of your voice.
Yes,
too.
Yeah.
You have power, powerful esophagus.
Yeah, yes, that's so, it. That's exactly right.
You got that power. Boof. That's good.
855-212-4CBS. Coming up straight ahead, we're going to talk to Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal analyst, and discuss everything surrounding the college basketball FBI investigation. We're going to do that next as we roll right along here on this Tuesday morning. It is Taz and the Moose calling BS on Kobe Bryant as we roll right along CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal analyst. Join Taz and myself here momentarily. AB is in the house with the update. What's going on, AB? How you doing, bud?
I'm good, boys. Your update is brought to you by Barbasol. Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. Iona and UNC Greensboro, the sixth and seventh teams into the NCAA tournament. The Gaels won the MAC again.
Half a minute to play. McGill across the timeline throws it to the rim for Udogie, who throws it down for the punctuation mark for Iona. The Gaels with a 12-point lead and seemingly heading for their third straight MAC championship.
Gary Cohen on Westwood won 83-71, the final score over Fairfield. UNC Greensboro then dropped East Tennessee State 62-47 in the SoCon finale, first bid for the Spartans since 2001. Four more spots on the line tonight: the NEC, the CAA, the Summit, and the West Coast Conference. Gonzaga took care of San Francisco last night, 88-60, but St. Mary's fell to BYU, 85-72. The Boston Celtics played in Chicago without an injured Kyrie Irving back in mid-December and lost by 23. Again, without him last night in Chicago, no such problems.
Jaylen Brown spinning on to Wamba, off the window and in. Timeout, Fred Hoiberg, but I don't know what's left to say.
Yeah, there is. It's over?
It was over from the opening tip, basically. Boston led 22-5, then 55-29 at halftime, then 105-89 at the final horn. Jaylen Brown scored 21, as highlighted from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. Damian Lillard scored 19 of his 39 in the fourth quarter as his Blazers beat the Lakers in L.A. 108-103. The Cavs routed the Pistons 112-90. Indiana 92, Milwaukee 89, and the Spurs got by the Grizzlies 198, snapping a four-game home losing streak. San Francisco police have issued an arrest warrant for former Raiders linebacker Alden Smith. He's charged with four misdemeanors over an alleged domestic violence incident over the weekend. Smith has apparently checked himself into rehab since Saturday. Oakland released him yesterday. The Houston Astros giving their opening day start to Justin Verlander. And from the NHL, the Islanders lost their seventh straight 4-3 in OT in Vancouver. Canucks star rookie Brock Besser taken to a local hospital as a precaution after seeming to injure his back, falling into an open door at the bench late in the third period. Guys?
Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal analyst, co-author of Court Justice, the Ed O'Bannon book, and Taz and myself had Ed on when that book came out.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
You got it, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got it, Michael. Let's start here. What did you make of the Miller statement last week out in Arizona?
Well, I think it shows a couple things. One is that he clearly categorically rejects ESPN's account of the intercepted phone call by the FBI. And also, I think, less obviously, the school seems to believe him, which is a significant point. The school allowed him to do the press conference at the school. The university leadership said it's retaining him. So what he has told the school is a narrative that the school believes, and other reporting has, to some extent, contradicted ESPN's report. At SI, we agree that there was an intercepted phone call, but we do not believe the player in question was DeAndre Ayton. We think it was someone else. Other media accounts have raised other questions, and the ESPN story has been corrected a few times. But that doesn't mean ESPN is necessarily wrong. I mean, so it's sort of an open-ended question, and the larger issue is that the evidence in the FBI's investigation is sealed, so it's not accessible to the public, which creates all sorts of issues with who's leaking it, is it being leaked accurately, And is it being leaked with the intent to defame someone? So there are a lot of moving pieces there, many of which we're not able to see.
Well, hey, Michael, what do you make of the fact that, you know, ESPN basically standing by their story on this? I mean, it's kind of like, it's my word against your word, I guess, until the facts come out. But ESPN is standing by their story. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ESPN has its own, obviously, system of reporting, and they're confident in the allegation. They have modified the story, but they have stood by the core allegation of this phone call. We don't think that is correct, at least the portion of which player it involves. There clearly, at least we believe there was definitely an intercepted phone call, but you know what happened on that call and who it was about is a matter of debate. But yeah, this is a situation where we may never know what is the truth, because if the defendants in the FBI corruption cases plead out and they don't go to trial, there's a good chance this evidence doesn't become public. And even if it does become public, it may be years before that happens. So this could be a story that simply has a long life, and we either don't know the truth ultimately, or right. It's not for a long time from now, or it's no longer as newsworthy.
Do you think Miller will pursue any kind of legal action against ESPN?
I don't think he will, but he could. He could certainly argue that this is defamatory, and he'd have a good argument that the report has painted him in a very negative light. The challenge for Miller is a couple things. One is that he has to prove that it's untrue. His word against ESPN doesn't prove that it's untrue. Other media companies' word against ESPN doesn't prove that ESPN is untrue. The only way of really proving that ESPN is untrue is getting access to evidence that no one has. That's, of course, a sealed document.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to show that. Then secondarily, even if he could show it, he's a public figure.
Public figure, so yeah, I was just going to say
malice.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Right, so he has to show that you know it was done intentionally or with reckless disregard. And then lastly, you know, there's a risk in suing someone for defamation because then you go under oath. And if there's even if you're right about this one thing, if there's other stuff that's bad, it could come out. So it's a gamble.
Well, it's curious because Taz and I were discussing it last week, Michael, and then you gave you and you guys did a great job of providing a little bit more to the story and certainly mentioned that it was not the player, from your understanding, DeAndre Ayton in question. Why would Miller, if he didn't do anything wrong, I mean, I know people do crazy things. I have a hard time envisioning Sean Miller getting on that podium and making the statement that he did if he knowingly broke NCAA rules.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Although, look, people are not always honest. So, you know, and this is also a story where the evidence isn't easily obtainable. In fact,
sure. Isn't
obtainable if it's done lawfully. So, but I agree. I mean, his press conference was clearly not someone who was mincing words, right? He was saying this is categorically untrue, and the university believes him. So that's a pretty compelling factor in his favor. But, you know, again, if he sues for defamation, he better be sure there aren't other things. And one of his former assistant coaches has been charged in the FBI corruption case. So, you know, it could be he's right about this, but if there are other things he doesn't want revealed or that could be true that he doesn't know about, he may just want to sort of leave it as it is, as a win.
Yeah, just lay low a little bit. Don't ruffle the feathers anymore, right? I hear you. So, Mike, let me ask you. It seems kind of obvious, right, that some changes are needed in the NCAA that need to happen. Like, what's your perspective on that? What would you change? What do you think needs to go down?
Well, I think as a starting point, there has to be some change in the way in which college athletes are able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. That doesn't mean they get paid for appearing in a game. That's right. Not, you know, university of whatever pays a salary. This is about if you appear in some commercial product, whether it's a video game or even a broadcast, including a classic broadcast, or your jersey is sold by the university. You know, it's really, I think, fundamentally unfair. Most would say that if you were anyone but a college athlete, you would get paid for that.
So you're saying royalties for basically, that's what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not hard to do.
Right.
We have systems in place in music with selling music in terms of royalties. And the pro leagues do this, where you simply license uses of names, images, and likenesses. And so if you're a very marketable college athlete, you may be able to maybe get an endorsement deal. But even if you're a bench warmer, you still may get something because you're getting your name and image and likeness are being used commercially. So, I mean, that to me is something that there would be widespread support for. That's a starting point. Whether college athletes should get a salary, whether they're employees, you know, that is, I think, a harder situation because it in part depends on who we're talking about, and it also encounters potential Title IX issues. Look, I teach at the University of New Hampshire, right? I have college athletes. They're not going pro. They're students who play a sport. But I also know that at some schools there are, you know, clearly college athletes that are there to play a sport and then go pro. I mean, maybe the system should treat them differently.
Yeah, I think it's fair. They're obviously there's a tremendous opportunity. Step on a college campus, you're a Division I athlete. But there are, as Taz and I were discussing earlier, Michael, there's an end game if you're a big-time college basketball player, a big-time college football player, of turning pro and making money. And I guess I look at it where if we're going to end corruption in the NCAA, I don't know if you can completely end it, but I do know that the NCAA has got too much revenue coming in to not look at the athletes that are the product, for them not to get more than what they're getting right now.
Yeah, I think that there's now increasing consensus for that. And as a side issue, I think pro leagues have to think through age restrictions. I mean, in the NBA, we know that yesterday there was news that Adam Silver is contemplating getting rid of the one-and-done rule. I mean, I don't know what that rule accomplishes. You go to college for like a semester, and you play basketball, then you leave in the middle of the spring semester. I mean, what is gained by that? So maybe the NBA would like to have a more robust minor league system where players could enter and make some money, and maybe the NBA becomes a rival to the NCAA. I think competition would be good for everyone involved.
So that all being said about what came down yesterday from Silva and the NBA, do you think that the NBA took the right step, Michael, yesterday in helping maybe potentially solve the college basketball recruiting issues?
I think Taz, it would help because,
right.
I mean, it's not going to get rid of it because there are guys that are not good enough to go pro that still might be able to get some money from a college. I mean, I don't think it eliminates the corruption, but I think a lot of people, I think it's worth asking, if you're good enough to turn pro out of high school, you can turn pro in baseball, you can turn pro in hockey, you can turn pro in golf, you can turn pro in tennis, you can turn pro in soccer. All of these sports, and including music and being an actor, you know, we don't have these age restrictions. And yet, for basketball and football, we say you have to wait some period of time. I mean, I think as Americans, you could say we should be able to control our own destiny. And if we're good enough to go pro, why can't we turn pro? Why is there a rule blocking it? And part of it, of course, is that a lot of money is made through college sports. So, you know, obviously there's a lot there, but I think that it's sensible that all sports fans really sort of think through these issues, that there may be better ways of doing things.
Taz and the Moose here, being joined by Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal analyst. Michael, 10 years from now, is collegiate athletics completely different than what we know right now?
I think they'll be different. I think, for one, conferences are going to have a lot more authority. I mean, we're already starting to see that. Conferences doing their own TV deals. And if you were, say, a conference like the Southeastern Conference, do you really need the NCAA?
No.
Right?
You could operate on your – create your own rules for how athletes are compensated, and, you know, you go about your business. I mean, I think we're going to see eventually, maybe – I don't know how soon, but to me that's a step that's coming. And I do think college athletes will be able to better control their name, image, and likeness. That's something, of course, Ed O'Bannon talks a lot about in court justice, and something that – I think there's a lot of support for.
And final one for you, Michael, before we let you go, and we appreciate the time this Tuesday morning, is this. Back to the Miller FBI investigation. Do you think, from your understanding, from your reporting, is there going to be more dominoes that fall here moving forward? You know, the investigation process is along the road already. You know, how long, you know, how much more do you think there's going to be that's going to be coming out, leaked out here?
You know, Mark, I mean, it depends. So the people that have the documents are the FBI, the lawyers for the defendants, and the defendants themselves, and the courts. So among those groups, you got to ask who has an incentive to leak. Probably, you could argue, maybe lawyers for some of the defendants, for strategic reasons, for you're trying to deflect attention. For instance, there's only a small slice of information that's been leaked, and obviously Yahoo Sports did a great job, Pat Forty and Pete Thamel, breaking a lot of news about this recently. We've only seen a sliver of what's in that universe. There are apparently thousands of phone calls that were intercepted. Who knows how many emails and other documents there are. All it takes is a leak to someone, and then the journalist can publish it. It's not that, you know, the journalist isn't breaking the law. It's the person who's doing the leak that's breaking the law. So who knows what gets leaked. But I would say this. Keep in mind, with any of these leaks, it's an account of someone else's information. So the journalist is likely getting a retelling of what the evidence says as opposed to the evidence itself. So that could lead to some inaccuracies.
Michael McCann does a fantastic job, Sports Illustrated legal analyst, co-author of Court Justice with Ed O'Bannon. And Michael, thanks for spending a couple minutes with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
You got it. And does a good job. And we'll see.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
Listen, changes are going to happen, as you and I have discussed. And NCAA, it's not going to continue. He makes a great point. If you're the SEC and you're football, Taz, do you really need the NCAA?
No. No. You
I mean, you don't. You don't. They're their own entity.
I think you asked a great question. I'm paraphrasing how you asked it, but what's the NCAA or what's college athletics in 10 years? How'd you word it?
Right. Ten years from now, how different is college athletics?
That's a great question. I think it's
going to look drastically different.
I think you might be right. I think you definitely might be right.
And we'll still be doing the Taz and Moose show.
Oh, right? Soaring, successfully chasing numero uno.
Video there? Well, we'll pass numero uno by then. Video then?
Oh, the V word?
HD.
HD? You don't want to see me in HD early in the morning. I have a cigar out here, token away on a big fat ring cigar.
5K. Ultra HD.
Yeah, HD 5K. Will be terrible in 10 years.
Yeah, it'll suck. Awful. It'll be, you got HD, you're a punk ass.
Right. Yeah. It'll be virtual reality. You'll flip it on, it'll be like Taz will be sitting there blowing that cigar smoke in your face. You'll be coughing.
Put that cigar out right in your freaking forehead.
Leftovers coming your way next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. So before we get to leftovers, Taz, Thursday Night Football, as we know, is going the Fox way, right?
Yes.
And it seems that Fox and ESPN, they're fighting over the services of one Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Fox wants them for their Thursday night entity, and ESPN wants them for Monday Night Football to replace John Gruden, who's now back coaching the Oakland Raiders.
I love how they just decide to throw guys like this right in the booth when they have no experience.
None.
Whatsoever. Just throw them right in the booth.
Right. They're like, you're great on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. We enjoy your commercials.
Yeah.
Nobody sold Papa John's pizza better than Peyton Manning. So now go out and analyze NFL games.
Just throw them in the booth.
Throw them in the booth.
You know what they do? They throw them in the booth with a real credible play-by-play guy usually. And that's what they did with Romo. They did that with Romo.
And Nance.
With Jim Nance. So, you know, which they ended up forming a pretty good team. So we'll see what happens here. So Manning, where's he going to end up?
Well, and that's the million-dollar question. Now Fox is going to be able to offer him a playoff game because reportedly, according, I believe, to the Sports Business Journal, ESPN will no longer have a playoff game on Wild Card Weekend next year. That game will now go to Fox because of the Thursday Night Football package. So they could offer Peyton Manning a – an ESPN or a playoff game, I should say. Fox can. Now, the issue I have with Fox is this, is that they want to make the Thursday night product some kind of a showcase event. And listen, we love football, right? And we'll agree to the Thursday night product, Taz, as we've discussed, is not a great product.
I like it, though.
I know you like it.
I like
it. I said we agree to disagree on this.
I know.
I know you want more and more football. I'm talking about the overall quality of the games. Asking guys, as we've discussed, and you know this better than anybody, Taz, when you lay your body on the line physically on a Sunday afternoon, to expect that athlete 3.5 days later to be at peak physical condition once again, to lay it on the line again on a Thursday night game, I think it's a lot to ask. I think it's a lot to ask of defensive linemen, offensive linemen, linebackers.
That's why they have depth shots, right?
Yeah, but that's not. NFL. I'm not looking to watch backups. I'm looking to watch starters.
Yeah, some backups are legit players.
I get they're legit players, but they're starters for a reason. You're looking to watch the stars. The National Football League is about the star.
Well, I don't know about the star, but I'm saying the bulk of the team is
right.
Not the stars.
No, they're not. They're not. But I'm not looking for – I need those guys to be playing at their peak physical condition. And listen, I don't think the Thursday night product is a big product. But if you're going to tell me that you're going to build it up to where now you're going to have Troy Aikman conceivably speaking on the pregame show, and you're going to have Peyton Manning doing the court.
Is that going to make me watch more?
Is that going to make you watch
more?
No,
it's not. It's not.
No.
I'm going to watch because I'm a football fan.
Right.
I don't care. Well, you know, if they could have all the fancy Dan ex-quarterbacks they want as commentators, that's not drawing me. Right? Maybe somebody else. Maybe Tom, Dick, or Harry. Not me.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, and that's the problem I have. I'm not watching for the analyst.
That's right.
I thought Romo did a nice job last year. Everyone went goo goo gaga over Tony Romo to where
that
they...
That sounds like... You, goo goo gaga, that's part of his shtick.
Yes,
that's,
I know.
That's something he would say.
Well, but that's exactly right. But everyone basically thought that Tony Romo was reinventing the wheel as an analyst. I thought he did a nice job, but I'm not watching a game. I'm watching the game for the players.
Well, he was calling out plays before they were happening. And that'll go on for a couple seasons, and then he's going to be done with that because he's not going to know the other team's playbook like he knows now.
Right, and it's going to annoy people because you want to watch the game. I don't want to know that it's going to be a run to the right every single time
it's
in
called,
this particular setup.
I'm a color commentator, so I will help you what this is called. Okay,
what?
This is called leading the audience.
Yes.
And when you lead the audience, it's bad.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's what that's called.
I totally agree with you. And you saw over the course of the year, that became a little bit less and less for Tony Romo compared to what he was doing early on in the season. But I thought Romo was good, but everybody fell over themselves about Tony Romo.
I'm sorry, Taz and the Moose Show. I'm getting ready for a Taz Show.
Yes,
sorry about that.
Don't worry.
Freudian slip.
That's all right. But I didn't watch it for Romo. I watched it for the play.
Yes, you did. And I did too.
Yeah.
And that's what you would watch. Years ago, you'd maybe, guys like John Madden, they became larger than life in the announce
booth. It's
not the case anymore. There's so many games. There's so many different announce teams, different networks. I don't know who works for who anymore. And I frankly don't care. Like, who works for who anymore?
So are you going to watch the Thursday night game if it's a bad matchup because Aikman's doing the pregame and Peyton Manning's doing the color analyst?
I don't care if it's, Abbott Costello and Bud. I don't care who it is, man. I don't care. As long as there's football out there, I'm good. So I think a lot of fans would agree with that.
I would agree.
It doesn't matter who it is. It could be Hall and Oates. I don't care who it is.
I don't disagree. And I think there are a lot of people more and more watch the game with the volume down, just enjoy watching the game.
Imagine Hall and Oates calling the football.
It would be great. Which one looks like Gary Delabate?
That'd be Oates.
Is that Oates?
Yeah.
Or is that Hall?
Bobby Oates. No, John Hall and Bobby Oates.
John Hall's the one with the...
He looks like...
He's the blonde hair.
Bo Duke from the Dukes.
Yeah, he has the blonde hair.
1977.
Mullet?
Watch their sitcom back. Yeah, yes.
He had the mullet.
Yes. Bobby Hall. That's a hockey player. Bobby Hall.
Yeah.
Bobby Hall's
John
a hockey
Oates.
Player. And Johnny Oates. Yeah,
Johnny
they were
Oates.
A tag team for Mid-Atlantic Pro Wrestling years ago. Yeah. I can go for that.
Yeah,
no can do. Is that the name of this?
Very nice.
No can do.
All right.
I can go for that. No can do. Just
they're
imagine
good,
on the podcast, you don't hear this.
No, you don't hear anything.
You don't hear us singing.
Dead silence,
that's
right.
We're singing.
Imagine hitting the high note right there.
These guys
imagine
calling
being able to sing like that.
Imagine these guys calling a football game.
Oh, it'd be great. be great.
This would be great. Now
I think Bisseglia and Bellotti should call the game. I'd watch that.
Oh, ratings soar.
That's even a better example.
Imagine you went to the booth and Bisseglia's there petting his cat as he's calling the game.
Third and two, Leon on my left.
Oh, right. Leon, I love when you are on my thigh.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Sorry, I missed that call. I'm petting my cat.
I see intense.
Pete, feed Leon.
All right, let's get to some leftovers.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Why is my name not in that opening? And my partner. Why? Why?
Yeah, it should take you 3 weeks to notice.
Well, no, I actually noticed that week one, but I'm trying not to be picky-oon.
Okay, you're right. So, that should be Taz and the
should
Moose.
Should be Taz and the Moose.
Let's get Turner on that today.
Yeah, come on. Mike, please.
I apologize.
No, you don't mean it.
No, I do mean it. No, I saw your eyes just now. I do apologize.
Look at my eyes and you can look at my foot. I'm just telling you, it wasn't good.
The storm is coming.
Good thing we don't have virtual reality.
Yes, the storm is coming.
The storm is coming.
Don't worry, you'll get in, Moose. You'll be fine.
30 feet.
All right, let's go. What do we got? What's the leftovers?
If you were, if you were an NFL GM, would you still be concerned about Josh Rosen's character?
How did we not get to this topic? This is a great topic about
Josh. We're going to get to it. I know.
He ticked people off.
He did. He didn't like me in question about an interception.
I know. He didn't take no S, this kid. He's like, yo, look, you a quarterback? Shut up. Like, I'm like, wow. Josh Rosen.
Right.
Big Grapefruit Jones.
That's exactly right. I'd be concerned about him getting hurt all 3 years when he was at UCLA.
He's not a big guy. He's not a heavy guy. You know?
No, so not a heavy guy. He can throw it. Man. He can throw it. Now,
built like Al Dukes. Slender.
Yeah, a little slender.
Like
no
Slender
doubt.
Man.
Yes, that's exactly right. But enjoyed college, as we could all see on social media. Yes.
Bleacher Report reports Kirk Cousins between the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, it's down to two. Vikings and the Jets.
Well, initially,
reportedly.
We were going Broncos, Jets.
Right. Now Broncos out.
The Vikings.
Jets and Vikings.
We talked about it yesterday. I think he's going to the Jets. He's going for the money. He could be the superstar on the Jets. On the Vikings, he will not be the superstar. He needs to be the star. He's an ego man like Kobe Bryant.
Well, it's interesting where do you put yourself in the scenario to win right away or you take the most amount of money. More often than not, people are going to bank on the idea that professional athletes are going to want to go after the most amount of money, and the Jets can offer the most amount
go
of money.
Go for the money, Curtis.
You like that?
Kirk.
Does the Lakers' recent success, do you believe it impacts LeBron's view on potentially going out west to L.A.?
He's not going out west. I don't think he's going. I think he's going to 76ers.
I think he wants to stay east.
He's going 76ers.
East is the easiest path.
Right
off 95. Why head out west?
I don't need to go out there.
You want to continue your run to the NBA Finals. Stay in the east. You got the Celtics. I get it. You go to the 76ers. Imagine LeBron with Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Markelle Fultz.
Oh,
imagine that crew.
It would be unbelievable.
I mean, it'd be talking about
the Sixers.
He wouldn't have to give you max effort every single game. You've got young stars. If those guys stay healthy, the amount of rings that he could win late in his career.
Mucho rings.
Yes.
I agree. I don't think he's going to. Mike, you think he's going to the Lakers?
I think he's staying in Cleveland ultimately.
Oh, you're annoying.
I don't think he goes to Los Angeles. Could I see him going to Cleveland? I staying in Cleveland, I could. Could I see him going to Philly? I could.
He's going to Philly.
You never know.
He wants to make.
I think everyone that has had him in Los Angeles for all this time will end up with egg on their face.
Well, it's better than bacon on your face.
And what's next?
And finally, Roger Goodell. He ran the 40-yard dash in the NFL offices. What do you make of Goodell?
He ran a 5.4. I watched it in a suit. He hacked the Rich Eisen. It was impressive. I got to say, that big SOB, he's a 6'1". About 225, 230.
He did a nice job.
He looked pretty good.
Had the sneakers on. They had the long hallway at the NFL offices.
That reminded me. This will be gifts. Someone's going to steal this idea, right? I just had this epiphany. It looked like him running from the NFL fan base. Like that. This picture of the whole NFL fan base chasing
running
him.
After him.
I mean,
that would be a great gif.
But he ran. Oh, Geif. He ran a 5.4.
It's a gif or a Geif?
Geif, gif.
It's a gif?
This is a long.
Jif?
This will get Moose to kill this conversation right now. Watch me. Promise me. This has been a long discussion on the Taz Show for 2 years about gifs or Geifs. You'll never want to talk about it on this show again.
No. Well, we could talk about it right now. We got
Roger Goodell ran his ass off. He looked great running. He's still a little bit of a jerk.
Taz, we could talk about the rest of the show.
Okay. We're almost done. Yeah, so. I got to do my other show.
Taz show's coming up online,
you
right?
You can watch it on Facebook at facebook.com/Taz. You can watch it. We got video, 9:15 a.m. Eastern.
Check it out. Breaking down Raw.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking all stuff. And you can also check out the podcast version of the Taz show at iTunes. I'm over.
And Taz and the Moose as well.
Oh, that podcast.
Yeah,
is
no doubt.
Money.
I mean,
that's
right.
Gold.
Yes. Mikey B, as we have closed in the gap on numero uno.
Oh, it's coming down, baby.
Enjoy your Tuesday, everybody.
Thanks,
CBS
everyone.
Sports Radio.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.